Okay, good evening, everyone. Our last shiur of the season, and I guess in a sense we're going out with a bang. Very interesting topic that I want to discuss this evening from a variety of perspectives. That is the topic of Kanoim Pogimbo. I still recall vividly a chaver of mine who was, and is especially now, close to 15 years later, a significant Talmud Chacham, but he was already a Talmud Chacham then. And he was very exuberant in his learning in general. And I still remember we were in camp together in the summer, and it was this parsha, we were in Sukkot camp. And I remember we were at a tish on a Friday night, and he looked at me, and with his hand going like this, Kanoim Pogimbo! This is a childhood, I was a late teenager, but it's a memory that I have, which I always associate with this parsha. So it's in his anonymous honor that I'll offer the shiur. Of course, the exuberance with which he shared that relates, of course, to the fact that it's an exciting story. It's a tragic story, as you know. You mentioned it's a movie. I gave a drasha years ago as a guest in a shul in Long Island on Parshas Pinchas, and the opening of my drasha is it would have made a great movie. But anyway, the truth of the matter is it's anticlimactic in Parshas Pinchas. People forget. The real action happens in Parshas Balak. Which is, of course, in the last nine psukim of the whole of Parsha, in the beginning of Perek Chafei, where we hear about the plan of Balaam. We know that the whole Parsha is about his attempted and then foiled plan to curse the Jewish people. And finally, he realizes, you know, as the Chazal elaborate on, you know, that the God of the Jews, he hates Zima, and if we'll get him with Zima, then that will really make the Jewish people vulnerable. And in fact, they have the whole plan with the women. Are they from Midian? Are they from Moab? It's not so clear. They're from both, maybe. And they entice the men, and as Chazal elaborates, it wasn't just the Aveira of the Znus, but then when the men were very interested, so the women made them commit to Avodah Zarah before finally yielding. And as a result, they were very successful, and Hashem was upset, and there was a very horrific and deadly plague that was going to encroach on the Jewish people, could have Chalila wiped the whole Jewish people out. As bad as all of that was, the Torah tells us in Pasuk Vav here of the Perek that it got worse. Hine ish hine Yisrael ba. There was a man, Yakrit el Echav, es hamidjanis le'ene Moshe ule'ene kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Mamish in public. In front of everybody. Hema Bochim Pesach Ol Moed. And they're mamash at the door of the Ol Moed. Unbelievable. Mamash not to be believed. Yar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron a Kohen. Yochum Mitocha Eda. Right, he's with the group. You know, he stepped forward. Yigach Romach V'yodo. That's my friend. He's got his spear in his hand. Yovo Achar Ish Yisrael El Hakuba. Yidkor Shnehem. And he pierces them. He kills them both. As Ish Yisrael, as the Esa Isha, El Kapsa, and as a result, the Te'atar HaMagifam El B'nai Yisrael, as a result, only 24,000 people die. It's only in the next parsha, actually, later in the parak, it's fascinating, and Alpi Drush, I have actually spoken about it, but not for tonight, why the Torah breaks these up into two parshios. The end of the story and the beginning of the story, but it's only actually in the next week's parsha who we find out who Zimri was and who Cosby was, and obviously knowing who he was, a prince, a Nasi from Yisrael, so it was even worse. It's hard to believe when you have this plague and everyone doing everything, it could have gotten worse. Then it gets worse because there's somebody who's doing it in front of everybody, in Pesach Al-Moed, and it did, when you think it couldn't get even worse than that, you find out it was a Nasi. Mamish was the worst of the worst. Rashi Redi and our Parsha paraphrases some of the key points that come from a famous Gemara in Masachah Sanhedrin, and it's the base of that Gemara which I'd like to focus on for the duration of the Shir. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis tells us that Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, as we understand it, which means it's a Dinda Alaisa without any Makar, just a tradition that we have. Gemara tells us that there are actually three Halachos under the category of Kanaim Pogimbo, which could be translated in a modern context, in a very limited application, only three examples, of an endorsed vigilante justice. no due process, there was no edim per se, I mean, no formal gvias edus, no testimony, no psafezim, just killing them. And the truth of the matter is, while it was be'enei ha'edah of Kol B'nei Yisrael here, there's no mocker that I know of, per se, that would require such publicity. We do assume that it has to be for Hes here, the Rambam does mention that, the Asara Mei Yisrael, but there are some posts we would discuss in private too, what would be the status. Not so simple. But in this specific case, it's the Mishnah here of the Pe'al of Amadeus, tells us of three things. That Gonev Esa Kisva, I think is how you pronounce it. The Gemara says they don't know what it is. The Gemara didn't know what it was. It's okay that we don't. But then the Gemara tells us it was one of the Klisharis. And now it's not the time to discuss why that was particularly heinous. But someone who steals the Kisva would be killed, you know, on the spot. Furthermore, Hamakalo, the Kosein, which seems like someone who just cursed Hashem, but he curses Hashem to some particularly powerful, or perceived to be powerful, about Zara, a specific type of Kola, also could be killed. And finally, our case, Habo al Aramis, Kanaim Pogim Bo. That someone who is involved in this type of relationship with, here this is just kind of a figurative term, for really almost, I would say, any non-Jew, although Rashi does tell us Bas Ovid Kochavim, so perhaps limited to another Avodah Zarah, it's certainly not related to an Aramis, literally, but in any such case, Kanaim Pogimbo, as the Gemara tells us, as we see from Pinchas, you are allowed to kill them. The Mishnah actually tells us, it's a Mishnah, I don't know how many people know this, it tells us about something even less well-known than the other cases, about a Kohen who does Avodah Betumah. So, in theory, they should be allowed to kill him. It's another example, although the Mishnah does not use the term Kanaim Pogimbo. But on the other hand, if the Kohanim will kill him, then they'll become Tomei. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says the Pirchei Kohanim take the young Kohanim, take him out, and they bash his head in. It's graphically detailed in the Mishnah. That's a major tzarachia. Maybe if you'll remind me, Alan, next year, the particular parsha where this is connected, with major caveats, you know, maybe we'll have that topic first year. But anyway, that's also in this Mishnah. If you turn to Daf Pei Beis Amud Aleph in the Gemara, so the Gemara has all sorts of digressions, as much if not more than usual, but eventually it gets to the Iker part of our Sugya, and there's two or three things that are mentioned here which I think are worth sharing together and then focusing on, because they're somewhat peculiar. Says the Gemara, despite the fact that it's undebated, unquestioned, the din in the Mishnah, Kanaim Pogimbo, nevertheless, says the Mishnah, I'm not going to read this part of the Chazal, just as Rashi tells us already, and we know, just to kind of remind you, it was a dramatic moment, everyone was staring, they didn't know what to do, Chazal say Moshe forgot this halacha. After all, if it's called the halacha l'Moshe Misinai, right, where was Moshe? The answer is apparently he forgot on some level this halacha. Pinchas remembered it. He went to Moshe, and Moshe, you know, telling Moshe you should do something, and Moshe tells him, this is where we have the source of the famous term, Krina de Igrisa, you're the one who's supposed to be carrying the letter. If you're the one who remembered it, you should be the one who enacts it. Right, which is itself kind of an interesting... that's part of the topic I want to get to. Okay? So that's itself a kind of a weird thing. Number two is that there's a Chazal, a Yerushalmi, if I'm not mistaken, that tells us that after the fact, plague stops, miracle of miracles, Hashem gives him a bracha and everything, that the Zakenim wanted to put Pinchas in Cherem. What do you mean? He's the hero. You see, there's a certain tension with what's going on here. Furthermore, and this is where I want to focus now, the Gemara tells us, Rav Chisda, Habal Limlach. Someone who witnesses such a thing, this is what Sam was referring to, and then comes to Bezdin and asks us, Lou, what should I do? He comes and asks us for advice. Ein Morin Lo. We do not paskin that he should do this. Ein Morin Lo. Itmar Nami, Amar Rabba Barchana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Habal Limlach, Ein Morin Lo. So first of all, here you have a heter, maybe a mitzvah, maybe a chiyuv. I just gave you three possibilities. Of misa, of ritzicha. On the books, it's a mishnah. we can't tell him? Do we want it to happen or don't want it to happen? If some blah, blah, blah. This is like the ultimate, you know, democratic statement, you know, the anti-clerical statement. Usually we know, if we don't want people passing on their own, they should go to the Rav, they should ask a Shaila. Here, if they think of it on their own, they can do it. And if they come to ask a Shaila, we won't tell them. It's very strange. Furthermore, says the Gemara, lo od, and the Gemara is, if the Gemara tells you lo od, it means it's self-aware that I'm about to give you a bigger chiddush. Lo od, el she'im pirish zimri. What if at the last moment Zimri had separated from the woman? And nevertheless, right, Pinchas was, you know, he had a running start. He needed momentum to pierce them. And he couldn't stop. The Hargo Pinchas. What would be the halacha? Nerag alov. Pinchas would have been a Ramsaya, and he would have been killed al pidin. I.e., says the Gemara, essentially, in a dramatic way, it seems like, and this is how the Rambam distills from that comment of the Gemara, Hanayim Pogamo is limited to B'shas Maisa. It doesn't need to be any. The Rambam and the Raiva discussed that. I wasn't going to get into that. But certainly from the story, and certainly from the Gemara, it does not seem to be a Makar for Hasra. Right, yes, that's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know enough. In all seriousness, I was only half joking with Alan before. I don't know enough about those halachos. I don't know enough. But what I do want to point out, leave aside that broader issue of those two cases, in general, this just goes to show, again, how unique this is. Mehechatesi, if we have a din that someone's chayav misa, so what, you only give them the misa if we do it b'shas l'chil Shabbos? I can give edus on someone a year later. If it's good edus, on l'chil Shabbos, he gets killed. Ooh, slow down, okay, good. No, who? Pinchas would have been Chayav Misa if he killed him anyway. Huh? Whether we would have killed him, Lamaisa, that the Gemara doesn't say. But he'd be Chayav Misa. That's, Hasra is a question of whether we'll enact the Chayav Misa. Whether they're going to give him the onus is a separate question. But the Gemara is saying that it would have been murder, just like any other. It would have been no different than shooting somebody cold blood in the street. That's what the Gemara is saying. And then, the biggest chiddush of them all, the Gemara saves for last. Gemara has a sense of drama. Nepa Zimri v'hargo l'Pinchas. What if, in the moment, Zimri sees what's going on, and he turns around and, you know, maybe he had a knife in his boots or something, and he turns around, and as Pinchas is about to kill him, Zimri killed Pinchas in Neragalov. Zimri would not have been punished. Shehare Rodefu. Because Pinchas was a Rodef. I heard a few of you whisper Rodef. You're correct. But if you think about it, then you realize that what you said, and it's easier for me to say that than saying what the Gemara says, what you said makes no sense. This is the ultimate Mamanoshach. There's a mitzvah, maybe even a chiyah for Pinchas to do this. A halacha la Moshe Mitzinai, I did in a Mishnah, and yet he's called a rodent.
Well, if anything, Zimri would be the rodent, which is the consequences of what Zimri is doing.
Which no one says. Pinchas is a rodent? It doesn't make any sense. Plus, as some of the Rishonim, if Pinchas was really a rodent, so what's the din in rodent? Let's take a simple example, even though we'll make this more complicated later in the shiur. A simple example. Reuven is running after Pinchas to shoot him. No bad name choice. Reuven is running after Shimon to shoot him. And it's on Green Spring Avenue. So what does the din of Rodef tell us? So yes, it does tell us that Shimon, if he's smart and wily, and he has his own gun, he can turn around and shoot him. He's a near gun. That's the example here of Zimri, basically. But what does it also tell us? If I'm walking out of Mincha, and I see this, and I have a gun, not that people would bring a gun to shul, I don't think, but I had a gun, I could shoot them. On the contrary, I have a chiyuv. Hatzolas HaNirdaf is not just for the Nirdaf himself, we're also allowed to kill him. What does that mean? What comes out from that? That's the halacha of psuka. So what comes out from that? Think about our case, just to make the question even more difficult to understand as Gemara. If Pinchas is a rodef, Moshe should have killed him. Joe Jew should have killed him. There are thousands of people standing around watching. If he's a Rodeik, which means that Zimri could kill him, so such as Zimri can kill him, anyone can kill him. Hatzalus Anerda. Huh? That's not what the Gemara says. Maybe it could be, and we'll see. That's a suggestion that at least one Achron makes in the Rambam. So that's it's a good attempt, but the Shaila is, it doesn't seem to be in the Gemara. That does not seem to be in the Gemara. So with all of these questions in mind, yeah. No, that's a halacha called Rodeik. Kanai and Pogimbo, leave aside the other two examples in the Mishnah. Kanai and Pogimbo for us, and this is the Kanai and Pogimbo that, this is the only Kanai and Pogimbo that anyone knows about, means if you see specific Aveira, not if you see someone doing Chol Shabbos, if you see someone publicly having relations with a non-Jewish woman, then you're allowed to kill him. That's the halacha. Pinchas is the mocker. On the other hand, we have all of these confusing statements in the Gemara. It's halacha vein morin came. If you came to ask me such a shayla, I wouldn't tell you. But if you remember the shir, you could do it. Does that make any sense? Plus, if he stopped, what do you mean? We have witnesses who saw it. It was by definition before Hesia. Why can't we kill him for that? No, halacha doesn't apply. And furthermore, the guy who, so to speak, is, you know, wearing the cloth of Klal Yisrael, he's going to be the shliach benedict, so to speak, to kill him. He's a rodeif, and we could kill him. Let me ask you something. If somebody is mechay the Chol Shabbos, we go through the due process, two eidim, we're going to give him skila. And he breaks free, I don't even know, honestly, do they tie him up? I don't know how it is that they, I assume he wouldn't go willingly, at least not most people, so maybe they even tied him up, who knows? That's a brutal process, skila, unfortunately. But let's say he somehow got free, and he killed the shliach benedict. Would he have a right to do such a thing? Would he be able to say, I'm a nirdaf, the shliach benzin, the edim, yadav rishona, they're trying to kill me, I'm allowed to kill them? Of course not. Now he's chayv misa anyway, so we'll give him a second chayv misa. But lamaisa, is he allowed to do it? No. Will he burn and get him for doing that extra vera? Yes. And yet here, Zimri may be chayv misa, so Pinchas is just being the shliach benzin, the shluchad rachmana, and yet he becomes a rodent. What's going on? What is going on? So I think theoretically, at least. Okay, good. So let's spell this out now. So I think theoretically, at least, there are three possible ways of understanding Rodeif. We'll focus on at least two, maybe three. And I think they all are mentioned in some primary sources. But first, let's sketch out the possibilities, then we'll try to fill in some of the names and some of the issues. One is to say, it's wrong. I'm not sure anyone who does say this, but I keep my eyes out. Maybe it's wrong, but we don't punish it. Because if you do it, we're not going to punish you. But it's wrong. It's not really licensed, and that's why the Boel could kill you. And if you ask your rabbi, can I do it? He's not going to tell you. Nimlech ein marin kein. That would be an extreme. I'm not sure if I've seen anyone who says such a thing, but at least theoretically I'd be extreme. What if we don't say that? So I think there's at least two other more reasonable possibilities. Number one, it's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. It's a heter. It's not a mitzvah, but it's a heter. There's a permission to do it. But nothing more. That's one possibility. Or furthermore, perhaps it is a mitzvah, but, as been alluded to by one or two people already, three people, maybe it's a mitzvah, but in a unique one, which Beis Din cannot be involved with. Perhaps that's another way of saying it's a mitzvah but not a chiyuv, and perhaps it's even more than that. It's a mitzvah, it's not a chiyuv, and not only that, Beis Din cannot be involved in it. It is a b'shita, in principle, extrajudicial. Something we don't ordinarily want. On the contrary, here we have an exception. We dafka want it. So where does this come up? This comes up, I believe, in the discussion. It comes up maybe in a few places, but most primarily in the discussion that Rishonim have on our Gemara. Because the Gemara, the Rishonim are all bothered by more or less the questions we asked. I think if you're a careful reader of the Gemara, you don't have to reach and ask some of these questions, because they might as well jump off the page. But Bar Shekivano, the Rishonim, asks these questions. If it's a mitzvah, what do you mean Aymorin came? Plus, the Rishonim ask, is he a Rodev? He's not a Rodev. What's going on with that? We're going to get to that as well. So, let me paraphrase for you, including some important Lashonos from the Ran. The Ran on the Gemara says, Af al pi shebershus osa, even though Pinchas had rishus to do it, v'gam shehu mitzvah badavar, it's a mitzvah to do Kanayim Pogim Bo. Nevertheless, if Zimri had turned around and killed him, Zimri would not have been punished. Why? Ein ha'achar neharagalov. Why? Me'achar she'ein osa b'rushus bezdin. That's the quote of the Rav. B'rushus osa, v'gam mitzvah osa, but shelo b'rushus. Now, ordinarily, that would be an incoherent sentence. That would be a non sequitur halach, ordinarily. But this is part of the unique halach l'moshem b'Sinai, says the Ran. It's a mitzvah, but it's mamish, so mufka from Bezdin, it can be categorized even shelo b'rushus Bezdin. So, first of all, that easily explains why Ein Morin came. It's Shalom Rishusainu. We don't want you to do it. Maybe that's slightly too strong, but maybe not even. Number two, it seems like, according to the Ran, and he explained, that's why you're not the... You are a quasi-Rodef. If you did it, we wouldn't say you were a Roseach. Mitzvah Hulosah. But Me'idach, Klape, the guy who was about to get chopped up, since you're Shalom Rishus Bezdin, you don't have the connection. We asked the Shaila, but I and any other Chiyav Nisa, the Shliach Bezdin is not considered a Rodef. The answer is exactly that, because he's a Shliach Bezdin. It's a Maisa Bezdin to kill him. Here, it's Daf the extrajudicial. And therefore, you don't have, exactly, you're on your own. Very good, that's, I like that. And therefore, you don't have that, you don't have that protection, exactly. And he adds, I just want to point out, he adds the following, which is also the case that this is, again, if we were doing a shir just on a rodef, we would spend more time to develop this idea, but it's clear from Gemara's and others, even later, more recent sources, that when we talk about Hatzalas doing rodef, fulfilling a rodef or whatever, I'm not saying that right, Hatzalas Hanirdaf, Hatzalah, stepping involved, right? You said, I'm walking out of Minchah and I see something, I can get involved, maybe even Chai can get involved. So primarily, of course, we're interested in saving the Nirdav. However, it is clear from early Mekoros that we are also, maybe secondarily, we are also concerned about saving the perpetrator from himself. Hatzala me'avera. So says the Ran, that's true if I see the guy running after him, he hasn't come to Ritzicha yet. So if I shoot him, first of all, I'll save the Nirdav, and he gets to die innocent, through no help of his own. But I just saved him like a heaven. I saved him from himself. But here, Hanan Pogimbo, he's already B'Shas Aveira. So you're not saving him, he's already B'Shas Aveira. And therefore he says, you still do it. Again, it's mamish like a back and forth run. Yes, no, and what's another, again, a very provocative Lashonos. What's another one he says? But we still do it, even though he's already doing his Aveira. And there is no Nirdaf here, there's no victim here. It's not like a capital case. Yet, we still do it. La'asos b'nekama, b'nekama for the chil Hashem that was perpetrated. So, at the end of the day, you have some very laden shonos in the Ran, and he's essentially trying to straddle this fence, which is, I think, the second of those two reasonable options we suggested. It's a mitzvah, but it's, as Alan said, on your own, shelo b'rishus bezdin, la'asos nekama for Hashem. Therefore, we can't paskin for you, and you were not given the protection that an ordinary Shliach Bezdin would, because it is extrajudicial. Yeah. I don't remember. It's a very interesting point, because I don't remember seeing someone making that analogy. But Taka, it's not a bad one. Yeah.
The same concept of Nekama, and it never says that if the Roseach kills the Goyal Adon, that the Roseach is high.
Yeah, I don't know enough. Taka, I have to go back to the Mesachus Makkos a little bit and review. But that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Very interesting.
It's a strange question of Nekama also, because if the person's fired, should that get it?
Right.
If the person's fired, then they're still Nekama. If I go to the dome, it can be whatever.
Even them, that is such
an example.
I mean, that's such a fascinating halacha. How do you understand the Ar Mikla? Why all of a sudden does it stop then? And if he walks out, he can...
No, but I'm saying, that the concept of the Kabbalah...
Yeah. I'm a Kabbalah. That's interesting. I would like to think about that more.
Also not a mitzvah, right? I mean, the
Goel Adam says there's a day that it's a mitzvah.
Yeah, that's... We're not giving Shira Shofim, but if we were, so we matter. We'll figure out a way to say Shira on that eventually. Some of the other Rishonim on Sanhedrin say something slightly different. The Rosh and the Yad Ramah. If you've learned Sanhedrin, Yad Ramah is one of the few Masechtos we have a Yad Ramah on. So they seem to both say, and this is what you'll see actually quoted in Torah Beis Yosef, is that Kanai Pogimbo is a mitzvah, but it's not a chiyuv. Which was one of the options I was saying, or more or less, I think it's in the general camp of the Ran, of mitzvah, but Shlomer Shazbezdin. But they say it slightly differently. It's a mitzvah, but not a chiyuv. And therefore, somehow you can have this unique birya in which he can be a rodef vis-a-vis Zimri, or whoever the Boel is, but not a rodef vis-a-vis anybody else. Because again, if Moshe or someone watching would kill Pinchas, they'd be chayav misa. We don't look at him like a real rodef. So the Gemara uses the term, but it's somewhat askew. Perhaps the most extreme shita that I know of is the Rabbeinu Yerucham. The Rabbeinu Yerucham says the following. If Pinchas had been killed, as the Gemara said, it would have been okay. Zimri had a right. Why? Ki eino mitzvah lahargo, ela rishus ba'alma. Not only it's not a chiyuv, not only it's not a mitzvah, not only is it not a din and bezdin, it's just a rishus. It's not even a mitzvah. It's not an extrajudicial mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah at all. It's just a heter, or just a rishus.
Isn't there an aspect that the parent would not make a fear, in other words, fear of error of something that would be a natural instinct?
No. On the contrary, there are many things that are naturally instinctive. There's a whole parsha Nachrimos about that. I would say, I hope we'll get to in this year one form of that, but that a number of Achronim do speak about. But I would not be comfortable saying that as a blanket statement. That would be very dangerous, and there are many things that are also that would be instinctive, including in this parsha, which we'll get to, including in this parsha. But where you're coming from, we'll try to get back to, okay? We will try to get back to.
For sure, we're certainly not giving a lot of incentive to take such action.
Halacha v'ein marim ken.
Say you don't have the protection and all that.
Yeah. It's interesting that the Rambam, I mentioned, the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Haskiri Bia, and the Ravid there actually is the Rishon that I know of who seems to perhaps go the furthest in the other extreme. If the Rabbeinu Yerucham is on one extreme, it's mamish, not even a mitzvah, just a rishus. So the Ravid says it's all only true if you gave him hasra. The Ravid is the one who says you have to give him hasra. So where does hasra fit in? Aside from the fact that, leave aside what's the makor for it, is he right, is he wrong? I don't want to discuss that now. But it's what he says as pshita. So where does that come from? So it seems like Hasra is a bezdin, right? Hasra is something that we require in bezdin. There's lamai nafkamino outside of a bezdin ruling.
You need two.
No, for example, who cares if the avera is the avera? There's no nafkamino whether you give hasra or not. If you're talking about extra, it's by definition it's a judicial concept. So we said that the Ran says it's a mitzvah, but it's extrajudicial. Perhaps the Ravid by requiring Hasra is going so far as to see him even in some judicial context, in a Bezdin context. What about the Shilas we asked? Hard to know, because the Ravid is not being a parish in the Gemara. Perhaps he holds us to dinim, I'm not sure. It has to be worked on more.
Sounds like he sees the Kanari as a
basement. Yes. And I just want to add, I saw separately from him, but I thought of it. The Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer refers to Pinchas as doing this, Kishofet for Yisrael. Kishofet b'Yisrael. So in my mind, I associated that with this writing. I want to mention one final point on this, and then I want to transition to one or two other interesting things that come up from Pinchas and Zimri. And that is that there's a major machlokas achronim, a Mishnah Lamelech and a Hafla, Shoshana Samakim and Rebelvel, a huge machlokas achronim about the following thing. We have a halacha itself, an interesting phenomenon, known as Kimle B'Dirabamine. If somebody is Chayiv Misa and also has a financial punishment, right, the Chayiv Misa pathers him from the Tashlumen. Now, even the way I said that, it's controversial, because this huge lumbus has Kemal Ravamine work, and Navkamina would be how I'd even translate, explain it. So I just made a sort of assumption about how to explain it, so you won't hold me to that if we ever have a Kemal Ravamine share. There's many different explanations for how that works. But Lamaisa, practically speaking, let's not be such lamdanim, you don't have to pay the money. Okay? Frank the Akronim, a major discussion in Amachlokes, what about someone who's Chayiv Misa al Tana and Pogimbo. If there was some Luis or whatever the case was, there's a Dini Mominus involved as well, would the fact that he's Chayav Misa and he's going to get killed, would that pocket him, i.e. his estate, from the financial penalty?
You don't need a few Misa though. By like the case of Raiden, when the person who's running rapes Caleb, she became a Mali Fossil.
That's not Kim of the Rabbi
Nays. It is. The person who's the killer.
Oh, the killer.
Pain.
Okay, the killer, yeah.
Is puzzled from paying because if there was a reshus to kill him.
Okay.
Fine,
okay.
It doesn't need a chiyuv. It doesn't need an absolute chiyuv. It just needs a reshus. And Bob Machteris is the same thing because it's a reshus.
Okay, but in all of those cases, Taka, there may be a chiyuv misa.
Well, there's a reshus to kill him, not necessarily a chiyuv to kill him. Machteris.
Okay, fine. Although I'm not sure if it's halach l'maisa, either one of the things you said. I'm not sure.
If the
that's a huge discussion in that. Right. All right, that's
right.
A huge machlokas there.
Right.
And what was the first one you mentioned?
Right.
So the relationship between the two, I don't want to get back to. But again, I don't want to pass on the shaila. Maybe there's rise that I'm even thinking of. But I'm just pointing out it is a machlokas. It is a machlokas.
You're talking about nothing for the near duff or for the road base.
No, the Nirzah. I'm talking about the Nirzah. Yeah, so he's
Zimri in this case.
Yeah, so Louis Tzuyer, there was some financial issue, right? I don't know, he tripped over someone's tent on the way, you know, he was just as live as for the Avera. So I don't know, I don't remember if they gave a specific case, but that, so it's a machlokas, and our heavyweights on both sides of that issue.
But he hadn't done the Avera yet.
Again, let's say he did get, right, but that's, again, so that, and that's in such a case. So I think that whatever other factors they may be, that our shaila is directly relevant. Because I think it goes without saying that Kimla V'Ravimine is only true when you have a real, Sam's comment notwithstanding, but Pashas, this is not my Ha'ara, actually maybe it is my Ha'ara, but the issue is discussed is a sefer called Birkas Kohen, by Rav Deutsch. He's one of the Rebbeim in Kol Torah. It's actually a beautiful story. He grew up, his father was a librarian in Ponovich. And I knew some of the Rosh Hashivas, one of the Rosh Hashivas from Ashdod or other places who was recently by me, who saw the Sefer in my house, was saying it was amazing because when we were in Ponovich, you know, we like, look, this is the librarian's kid, you know, ooh, the Rosh Hashivas, and they have their sons. And meanwhile, the librarian's son is a bigger tomahawk home than them all. It worked in the office. I'm not even sure he's a librarian. I think he worked in the office. He worked in the office or a librarian. That's his, and he was a Tzedek Talmudic of Rav Shach. His rabbi is Rav Shach. He grew up, so I never knew the history of him. I just knew he was a rabbi. He called Rav Shach his rabbi. So this recent Rosh Hashiva was in there. He saw the Sefer. He told me a whole story about how he grew up around the yeshiva. Let's put it that way. So he has a number of Sfarim. He's a rabbi in Kol Torah. And he's a very nice Sfarim. So he's the one who pointed this Machlokas Achronim out to me. I don't remember if he said exactly what I'm saying. If he did, he certainly gets the credit. But I think the idea is, certainly it's relevant to our issue. The more you see this as some kind of a Maisa Bezdin, let alone that there would be a mitzvah to kill him, so the more likely you would be to invoke Kimle V'Ravamine. The more you see it, I think, as just a Rishus, or maybe it's a mitzvah but not a Maisa Bezdin, then the more you may be inclined to say, what does one have to do with the other? Kimle V'Ravamine is a special halacha, right? I think that's how I understand it. But, you know, Sam Sha'ar is a good one. Maybe that has to be looked into more. I didn't have a chance to see some of these Achronim insights. I'm not sure if they even bring these as Raya Zikan Lakan. I just thought it was an interesting Shaila, and it could be relevant. Okay, we don't have that much more time left, but I do want to mention a few other issues. One is, if you're interested, I'll give you the Marmokomos, Rav Usher Weiss has very, very comprehensive discussion of this in a broader context. He actually discusses it in three places. In Minchas Asher on our Parsha, in Minchas Asher on Sefer Shmos, and also I have one of his Sfarim, on Shas too, Maseches Pesachim Siman Gimel. He also discusses this, and he has a whole Maracha, which I think it relates to some of the points that were mentioned before, very beautiful. I try to point out that we know in the Gemara, in the same part of Sanhedrin, we speak about two different things. One is the din of Rodef, and the other is in the context of Bav Machteris, like how it breaks into the house at night, the Gemara invokes a rule, Habala Hargacha, Hashkem Vahargo. Someone's trying to kill you, you can jump up and kill him. So he tries to prove, I think, with some persuasion, that those are not synonyms, but two different halachas. And in fact, he points out that the Gemara, and Rashi, for example, says, only invoke Habar Lahargacha in the context of Bav Machteris. They do not, Rodef is treated as one halacha. It sounds like the same thing, Rodef, I'm allowed to kill him to defend myself. Habar Lahargacha, Hashim Lahargo, it sounds like it's all the same thing. So, more or less, what he says is, one is the halacha for everybody else, and one is the halacha for the potential victim himself. And even in cases where the general halacha of Rodef would not apply, the specific halacha for the victim, potential victim, of Habar Lahargacha, would apply. So we'll leave aside there's other rayas, but if that's true, that would explain the tension we were discussing in the Gemara. On the one hand, Klape Zimri, Pinchas is a Rodef. But we wouldn't say he's a real Rodef, even though that's the term of the Gemara. He says there's two, that's what he calls it, Rashawai, two dinim and Rodef. One is the, quote, real Rodef, and the other is this Habala Hargacha. So he says, Pinchas didn't have a dinim of a real Rodef. Of course not. It's a mitzvah, maybe in a mitzvah, but certainly it's a mitzvah to do, which I'm talking about. But, because it's a Halach of Ein Morin Cain idea, therefore, while Pinchas escaped the first din of Rodef, he still Klape Zimri had a din of Habala Hargacha, and therefore Zimri could have been Hashkim Hargacha. I'll just give you two rayas that he has, which are sensational rayas in Rishonim, and then I want to try to end off with one last thing about poor Cosby. Okay? Got your attention. Okay. So the two incredible Rishonim, I think, are, number one, there is an Eerie. I did not know about this. The Meiri says, I was hoping that Joel would be here. This is a nafkamina for Joel, Chalila, 100 times. We know the halacha about abortion to save the life of a mother. That as long as the baby is in the mother's womb, the baby has been a rodef, and you can kill the baby to save the mother. However, once Rosho or Rubo is out of the mother's body, even though still a rodef, still trying to kill the mother, quote unquote, as the Rambam's term is, Radfeleim in Shemaya, Hashem is, so to speak, deciding it, and therefore it's also to touch the baby. On the contrary, if you kill the baby, you'd be chayv misa. That's how we all know the halacha. I could have said that, you know, by heart 100 times, backwards and forwards, since I was a little kid. That's the halacha. That's how we paskin. However, there's a me'iri. The me'iri says that's only mostly true. It says me'iri that's true for everybody else. But the mother, says the me'iri, even after Rosho is out. So the doctors are quickly calling the Rav on the phone. Can we kill the baby? The mother's life's in danger. Does it head out? Yes? No? Just stand back. Let her die. And that's what would happen, Chalila. So the mother looks around. No one's helping her. So there's no Din Rodef anymore. Min Shemaya Karazfei. But, Miri says, I'm interpolating the lumbus into it, but Habala Hargacha Hashkim Hargo, if she could somehow summon the strength to kill the baby to save her life, she'd be allowed. Now, I don't think we possibly this way. I never even heard of it before. What a pelotic of Miri. And again, that type of radical separation between everybody else and the potential victim certainly is in line with what Rav Asher Weiss said. Another makor, which this years ago, the summer I was rabbi in Riverdale, I said shir on this once, in the context of war. Someone I think mentioned war before, and soldiers. So I remember seeing this years ago from Rav Avi Yosef, and in fact, more recently I saw this an earlier Achronim, Rabbi Kiva Eger. He probably quotes it, I just don't remember. Mishnah Omelech, which is based on a Mizrahi al HaTorah. Mizrahi in Parshas Vayishlach says the following. In the din of Rodef, we have a klal, Nitin Hitzalah Be'ivarim, is chayav to do so. Namely, yes, he's running after you to kill you. You talk, I have a gun and you're a good shot. So, if you have to kill him to save your life, you're allowed. But if you can shoot him in the leg, that's like the police. Right? Measured force. If you can shoot him in the knee, so then he won't be able to run after you anymore. Then you're chayav to do so. And if you didn't and you killed him, you're going to be chayiv. That's the halacha of nitan lehatzilo be'evarim. You can save yourself by wounding him. Says the Mizrahi, a following chiddush. Mizrahi says, the din of nitan lehatzilo be'evarim is only true for the bystanders. It's only true for the bystanders. But the actual near death, shoot to kill. No, we don't. That Bapasha says we don't say that. But again, Chayecha if you have no choice. Alan, Chayecha if you have no choice. But Nitan Litzil Bihorim means you can save your life and tap his knee. So he'll walk with a cane the rest of his life. Too bad for him. We don't use that term. We use Habala Hargol, Hashkin Bahargol. You're allowed to have self-defense. You're allowed to preserve your own life, 100%. You know, he was not there after Lamisa, to borrow another term of the Gemara. But, says the Mizrahi, again, let's stay on the ball here. Focus. Says the Mizrahi, there's one rule for everybody else. They have a chiv of Nitin Zibi Varim, but the victim, not, potential victim. So what's the explanation of this Mizrahi? So, a variety of possibilities. One possibility, which is what I remember seeing years ago from Rav Avadya, and I now see that apparently Rav Eger and Mishnah Malach said that also, is that the victim, he's under too much pressure. You're going to tell him something, he's running for his life. Right. You're going to tell him to start making calculations, can I aim long enough to get in the knee? He just shoots, he's trying to save himself. If you can do it, okay, we'll give him an award for being a great shooter. But you're not going to expect the guy who's running for his life to be worried about only injuring the guy who's trying to kill him. The other people are watching who are not under pressure, so they have that chiyuv. You want to be a Johnny Goodnick, you know, you want to get involved, okay, but you can't use an proportionate force. So that, I think, is very eminently reasonable chiluk, and I thought that it was a great chiddush of Rav Avadya years ago. He pointed out, based on Amaral and other Maramukamas, that it could be that it b'shas milchama, we don't say nitlan tzil b'yavarim. You know, there's a chalos milchama, that was the shir I was giving all those years ago, that halacha recognizes Rodef, which at the time I was just calling one thing called Rodef, and war. And that war is not just Rodef on a mass scale. War is a separate halos. It changes other pre-existing halachos. If you have the status of war, certain halachos turn from A to B. And one of them, one of my rayas, had to do with this Rav Avadya. And he pointed out, based on the Mizrahi and other Makaros, that a soldier in the time of war, there's no halacha of Nitzan Lahatzilo Be'evarim. You shoot to kill. Why? And I remember Rav Avadya's poetic language. He said, and I remember I was thinking about Janine at the time. You know, these alleys where you never know who's all around the corner. He says, Cherev, right, you know, the Gemara's term, right? The Cherev is Mamish right now, Hamar Tavaro. He doesn't know who's around the corner. You're going to start asking him, you're going to also hold him to the expectation that he has to shoot him in the knee? He feels like he's going to die any second if he delays. So that Rav Avadya said about soldiers then. And I see it now that some earlier Aharon said it also. That's a possible understanding of the Mizrahi. However, Rav Moshe Weiss suggests a different Mahalach, based on his whole Shita, based on that same idea in the Meiri, namely that we have two separate dinim for Rodef and have Barla. That's where Nitzan Salah Bivarim, but Barla Hashkim Hargo. We don't say such a thing. And in fact, the Shvus Yaakov, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was the Shvus Yaakov, says, in the case of Bava Machteres, we don't say Nitzan Salah Bivarim. Again, I'm not holding enough on the top of my head right now all the Habab Machteres Marmakamas. But again, if it's all true, and it's debatable, but it would be consistent. I'll just mention to you two things. One, I don't have... I'll just tell you that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. You want to look at the Or HaChaim? It's pouring. Okay, no one wants to go anywhere? Good. We'll stay a few more minutes. It's the last year of the season, especially. So just to mention to you the following. I don't have much to say on it other than, A, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks a famous question, a halachic shayla that many people deal with. The Or HaChaim, you take a look on Shabbos. Rachaim asks, Mehecha Tefi, Pinchas was allowed to kill poor Cosby. Kanam Pogim Bo, not Bum. How come he could kill her? She's not a Chayiv in this halacha. He's the Jew. He's the Chayiv.
Maybe she was a Mitzvah. That's
the question that he asks. The din of Kanam Pogim Bo is for the Jew, not for the non-Jew, but Pashtus. That's his Shiloh. And he has a suggestion. I'm not saying there aren't other answers, but his answer is, and this is a whole discussion based on it. His answer is, fascinatingly, this won't win, this will definitely, I said, yeah, I'll say it in a more positive way, this will win the award for being politically incorrect. So not only are we allowed to go around and killing non-Jews, but the reason is, because our Chaim doesn't like animals. By which I mean, we have a halacha of behemah nirvas. We have such a mocker, right? An animal is involved in something that is a capital crime for a human. So not only do we kill the human, we also kill the animal. Why? So because we refer to it, it's a busha, it's a chil Hashem, that a takala liyad the Jewish people from this animal. So it says the Archaim HaKadosh, I'll focus on the being a Kadosh here, he could say this, not me. He says, so too here, this woman, she was, it's midin takal, he says. She brought a takal to the Jewish people. That's, I guess, similar to what you just said about being a mesis, same idea. But he uses the model of the Behemoth of Oz. And therefore, you're allowed to kill her to prevent the Chil Hashem. And in fact, he points out, and many people have broader discussions about this, on this, that it could be that the Shorash of the whole Kanaim Pogni to begin with, Haraya, it's only before Hesia, is a Chil Hashem Shabo. And if that's the case, and she's also the source of a further Chil Hashem, maybe that'll explain it. Since we have, I'll give myself a few more minutes because of the rain, I'll just share with you one last thing, which I think is a fascinating discussion. A number of posts can discuss, in fact, Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a tshuva where he talks about this in Zion, in the first line of Mincha Shlomo, the following. We have this idea in general about Nitan Latzil B'Varam. Namely, if you're in vulnerability, so if you have to kill the person, kill him, but you don't, it shouldn't be your first option. So Frek Meni Achronim, I don't understand. After all, one easy thing that they could have done in order to save themselves is to be parish. In other words, the Gemara says that Zimri could have killed Pinchas. He's a rodent. Why would he have been allowed to kill Pinchas? He has a much easier solution. Just be parish. Just move away from the woman. It's only Bishas Avera that Pinchas anyway is allowed to kill him. That's the line above in the same Gemara. So isn't that at least equivalent of Nitzman HaSil B'Varim? If he could have busted Pinchas' knee, maybe according to many, he should have done that. Not according to Mizrahi, but maybe according to others. But okay, maybe not bust his knee, but he doesn't say, he'll tell me I didn't have a sledgehammer. Okay. Just be punished from the woman. That'll save yourself. That's the Shiloh they ask. Interesting Shiloh.
How does he know that he's doing everything halacha? He doesn't necessarily know that he should stop at the hand.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, maybe. So, leave aside some of the other answers that the earlier Achronim say. So, I saw the following interesting answer. Both Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach said this, and Rosh Shmuel Rozovsky said this as well, that Rosh Shmuel Rozovsky was a great Ponovich of Rosh Hashiva, and the Sefer called Zechron Shmuel. Rozovsky Shurim are in two Svarim that are well known on many Mesechas and Shas, all the Yeshivish Mesechas, the Chedusher of Shmuel, which are his essays that he put out, and then the Shurir of Shmuel are the notes, I think, that someone else wrote up. Maybe he did, I don't know. But they're more shorter, Al-Seder HaDach type notes, not longer essays. However, there's a single volume work called Zichron Shmuel, which is a collection of either essays he published in journals, or talks he gave in different places. It's mostly Lamdash stuff, and in the back there's actually some very beautiful Hashkaf essays I've seen. But in that Zichron Shmuel, one of the halachic pieces, he also discusses this, and he and Rosh Shlomo Zalman seem to say the same following thing, which is halachic and quasi-hashkafic, or philosophical even. Let me ask you a question. Look through the following case. A guy comes to you and says, listen, I'm going to kill you unless you become my slave forever. So now, what's your instinct? I don't want to be your slave. Okay, so he comes to try to kill you. So what do you say? He's trying to kill me. I'm a nerd if I can try to kill him. Why am I allowed to kill him, or am I even allowed to kill him after all? I have another easier solution. Not kill him, be a slave.
Who said that's easier?
Be his slave. Now, it sounds absurd. Guess what? It's okay. Shlomo Zalman Orbach thinks it's absurd. But says, why not? Wouldn't you say such a thing? Let's take another case. No, of course you don't have to. But why not? Let's think about it for a moment. If the rule is that killing the person is only your last defense, so I have an easier defense. I can be a slave. Or another case. Let's take a mitzvah or an avera that is only punishable b'day shemayim. For example, I'm eating on Yom Kippur. So this guy is a kanoi, pun intended. He's a kanoi, and he comes over to me and says, you're eating Yom Kippur. If you don't stop, I'm going to kill you. Now, what right does he have to kill you? He has no right to kill you. It's a misa b'dei shemayim. It's kares. He has no right to kill you. And you say, too bad, I'm enjoying this hamburger. So he whoops out his gun. So now, l'chora, I'm a nirdaf. So what do you say? I'm allowed to kill him to save my life? Because I got one hand on the gun, the other hand on the hamburger. Or I could have a much easier solution. Just say, okay, you're right. I'll stop eating. So, say these achronim. This is even a bigger chiddush than the first thing they said. Of course it's usher to eat. They're not tethered to eat. But midin rodeif, if taka, I killed him with the hamburger still eating, Yes, I'm still chayiv karis for eating on Yom Kippur. But I'm not chayiv misa for killing the guy. I was a nirdof, he had no right to kill me, and therefore I have a right to defend myself. So what do you mean? What do you mean you have a right to defend yourself? You have an easier option. Isn't killing the last option? So what they bring out from both of these two kind of theoretical, what we call ad absurdum arguments, is the following, which is hard for me to say with tremendous precision, because it's really a little bit of a broad explanation. But basically, when we say that the nirdof has a right to defend themselves, and in that context, killing should be the last resort, for the most part, we're specifically speaking about defense, that's actions which are specifically related to defending yourself from that physical threat of death. I can shoot him, I can cap him in the knee, I can strangle him, I can tickle him, you know, whatever I'll do. So in that, whatever the multiple options are in any given case. So, for the most part, unless you hold that Mizrahi, everyone else, and perhaps even including the Nirdof, is supposed to try to do the lesser of all actions. However, that's limited to things which are directly defensive. However, something that's broader, stop, the way I want to live my life, I want to be a free person, not a slave, I want to eat on Yom Kippur, I want to do other I want to wear shatnez, whatever the halach is, or whatever the life choice is. But it has nothing to do with the specific issue. If he's trying to kill me, I'm defending myself. So for that, there's no din of nitzim latzim. He has no right to control your life. He has no right to control your life. The Torah says, when you're defend yourself with the least force. If you can do it. And if you're not sure, Barry, because you don't know if it'll work, so then enechanami, you're allowed to kill him. But broader things, like how I'm going to live my life, he says you can only wear red shirts. From now on, only red. I don't want to wear red. If you have no right to tell me to wear red, I'm not mechuyev to do that, so that you don't do something that's usher to kill me. I'm allowed to just kill you in defense. And I think it's something very, very... Again, it's hard to give an exact precise... I mean, I tried to give a precise definition. I'm not sure if I was successful or not. And again, the reason if I'm not is because it's somewhat philosophical, I think. But I think it makes a lot of sense.
It's also more practical. If someone who is... If you let a feel say, if someone's coming to you and thinking they're going to kill you for something, there's no effort.
No, but they go further than that. Oh, no, there's no effort to do. I'm sorry, yeah?
There's no effort to do. So, it's a pretense. You have there's no fear on you to allow this curse. If you really think he's going to kill you...
Except for the fact that they go one step further. So the easiest of the two cases I gave you was the slave, because I don't have no chiddush to be a slave. The bigger chiddush was the eating on Yom Kippur. The third and final chiddush, now we've built the two steps, is kanaim pagim ba'otzaf. It's not just that it's also for me to be with an aramis, like it's also for me to eat Yom Kippur. But that is the goof of the avera, where it is nitzan for them to kill me. And yet, midin nirdof, you see from this Gemara, they say, I am not chayev to be poresh to save my life. I'm chayev to be poresh, I'm not allowed to do it to begin with. But I don't have to do that in order to get out of the din of nirdof. It's very, very sharp, and maybe it's too sharp, I don't know.
Who says
still raining out?
Oh, yeah.
I just want the people listening to know why we're talking longer than usual. Well, that was something that Barry mentioned before. I don't know. That's like a Matthias Shell, which I'm not sure to answer. Barry mentioned that before. How do I know that if you stop eating Yom Kippur, he's not going to kill me? I don't know. That's the theoretical case they're talking about. Naniach, you know, there are more wilder theoreticals in halachic. That's not so theoretical. He's not a Meshuggah. No, he's got a towel over his head. He just can't imagine. He can't be solvable. Okay. I didn't mean that as... Let the record note that I was not making a joke, even though people are laughing. I did not mean that as an ironclad riot with Vladimir Shugana. By which I mean, he's not, generally, we know him. He is not a Meshuggah. We know him. But he can't be solved with somebody eating Yom Kippur in shul in front of the Aron Kodesh. Could you imagine? It's the equivalent of this in Bifnei Av Eidah. Right? He goes up, right? You give him, you know, Master Yonah, you give him the Elah, and instead he whips out a hamburger. Mafish in front of everybody! And, I'm going to kill you if you don't stop! The answer is, okay, you come near me, I'm going to shoot you. I am not allowed to eat. No, I am not, so I'll pay for that. But that does not change the fact that I'm still a nirdof, because he has no right to kill me. And again, I think, I don't think Rosh Hashanah Zalman says this, but I would like to end, I'm glad we had this extra time, to bring it all together, l'cha'ora, even this final chiddush of Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Rosh Morozovsky goes back to what we started with. Because if they were really acting b'shlugach bezdin, then I don't think you could say such a thing. Because then Taka, they're not allowed to do, then he's not allowed to kill you. Just like a Shluch Mez, then it's not considered a Rodev. The only way you could say this is if you assume that he's really the Kanai is in some twilight zone halakha, it's halakha gray area. Mitzvah not Tiyav, Rishus not Mitzvah, whatever, however we're going to formulate it, then we could say, you have no right to kill me. Maybe you have a heter to kill me, maybe you have a mitzvah, but I'm not obligated to answer to you. I'm obligated to answer Hashem, okay, that's between me and him. But I'm not obligated to answer to you, and therefore, I don't have to stop doing what I'm doing in order to make you not do what you're doing. I'm about to kill you to stop you. Okay, that's, now we just got to get wet. Okay, good night and a good year to everyone. I wish you have a good summer. Yishar Kayach to everyone for coming. When we'll pick up again exactly, I'm not sure.